Well, good evening to each of you again. Blessings to you and greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with you this evening. I've had the privilege of residing in your fair county since lunchtime today, so I was able to enjoy the beautiful day from the inside, but it was a beautiful day indeed. And I trust that your day was a profitable day in the sense that you were able to see God's handiwork in your lives as you went about your activities. What comes to your mind when you hear the word wilderness? I'm not asking for you to respond verbally tonight, but I want you to think about that. When you hear the word wilderness, what do you envision? Maybe a state forest up north that's far from civilization. No cell phone service, there's not a lot of traffic, wild animals perhaps. Maybe it's a vast area in the western part of our nation where there's rugged mountains and beautiful scenery. Places such as Montana or the Rocky Mountains where people don't go very often and there's not a lot of pollution in the mountain streams. Well, I think if you would have asked me what my envisioning of the word wilderness was, that's probably what it would have been prior to about 2.5 years ago when we, Dawn and I, had the privilege of going and visiting Egypt, Jordan, and Israel. We went with Stan and Joanne and some others from your church at that time. But as we traveled through the wilderness areas in each of these countries, it opened my eyes to a completely different understanding of the word wilderness. My perception of wilderness changed dramatically. Picture with me, if you could, miles and miles of, well, and I could say thousands of acres of no vegetation, or maybe a little bush here or a patch of grass there, just basically nothing. Mountains of rocks, no soil, a little sand maybe, and no water. That's what we saw, and that's the wilderness that is written about in Scripture. Only isolated signs of life, because it is nearly impossible to sustain life in those wilderness areas, in that environment. Now, sometimes in our lives, in our physical lives or our spiritual lives, we have wilderness experiences. I won't ask you for an amen, but I'm guessing you're here tonight. And if you've lived very long at all, you probably can identify some areas of life that you have experienced that you would qualify them as wilderness experiences. Times characterized by dry spells, loneliness, perhaps suffering or trials, few signs of life, tears, and questions, lots of questions. And maybe you can think of additional words to describe wilderness experiences that you have had or are having, maybe even this evening. In the Bible, we read of many people spending time in the wilderness, some voluntarily, others are forced there. People like Moses, Elijah, David, John the Baptist, Jesus, and the Apostle Paul. Often, times in the wilderness were times where individuals learned more about themselves, but also more about God, and learned to hear Him more closely and more clearly. These were often times of preparation for leadership and responsibility and ministry. But why the wilderness? Couldn't there be another way? And that's the title of my message this evening, Why the Wilderness? In my life, and I'm guessing in yours too, I wonder, different times, why do I need to go through the wilderness of life? Isn't life so much better when we envision life as the psalmist in Psalm 23, where he talks about being led by the still waters and green pastures all around us? But I wonder, why the wilderness, God? Why do I need to endure that or go through that? And I don't know that I can fully answer that question in my life, and I certainly don't stand here tonight with the illusion that I'm able to answer that question in your lives tonight either. But I want to take a look at the wilderness experience of the children of Israel and see some glimpses of why God chose the wilderness for them. And then I believe as we look at those illustrations, some of those glimpses may shed some light just perhaps into our wilderness experiences today. My purpose this evening is to help us to realize that God is wanting to do a refining work in our lives, especially during the wilderness experiences. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13. I want to start here, and this evening's message is going to be a bit of a journey through Scripture as we follow the children of Israel in their journey through the wilderness. But to provide a bit of a background for this, we have to go back 430 years prior to when this was written here in Exodus 13, to when Joseph was in Egypt and his family joined him there. There were 70 people in the Hebrew family that entered Egypt, we're told. And when a new king came to rule there in Egypt, one that didn't know Joseph, he noticed that the Israelites were increasing in number and in strength. And so he enslaved the Israelites and made life miserable for them. Finally, after hundreds of years, God heard the cry of his people. And he met Moses, where? In the wilderness. And commissioned Moses to go and lead his people out of Egypt. Now we know that it took some convincing, but eventually Moses and Aaron went to the king, went to Pharaoh, and asked him to let their people go. Go where? Into the wilderness. That's where they wanted to go. That's where they requested permission to go, to worship God there. Perhaps it was a place free from other distractions or other reasons, but that's where they wanted to go and worship God. But God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and after 9 plagues, each one of them targeting a different god of the Egyptians, the Pharaoh that was in charge still refused to let the Israelite people go. After the 10th plague, in which a firstborn of each family in Egypt died, Pharaoh said, "I've had enough," and he urged them to go and to do it quickly. He said, "Get out." And so 430 years later, the 70 Israelite people had become 600,000 men plus women and children, and they left Egypt. They were headed for the land that had been promised to them, to their fathers, the land of Canaan, the land that they were to inherit because of God's provision. And so that's the background for where we start reading tonight. I want to read in chapter 13, beginning at verse 17. I read just a few verses here, but it says this in verse 17 of Exodus 13. "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed, out of the land of Egypt." And verse 20 says, "And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness." God didn't take them the closest or the most direct way to Canaan, but through the wilderness. And the question again comes to our minds, why the wilderness. And I want to look tonight in this message at seven different reasons that I think we can see in Scripture as perhaps an answer to the question, why the wilderness? And as we look at these seven different reasons, I want to encourage you to see if you can any way that you may relate to some of these reasons for the wilderness experiences in your life. I can't say, this is one that fits you. But maybe, like me, you can say, I can identify with that one. I can see perhaps a little glimpse into the answer of why the wilderness. The first reason I see is that in the first reason for the wilderness is so the people of Israel would not get too scared. Verse 17 here that we just read tells us that. One of the most direct routes, or the most direct route to the promised land, led right through the land of the Philistines, their enemies. And these were a people, the Philistine people were a people that were skilled in warfare. They were well equipped to do battle. The Israelites, on the other hand, while harnessed, the Bible tells us, or armed for battle, were slaves. They had been slaves all their lives. They did not know how to fight a battle. And so for them to journey through a battle land where there's battle-tested warriors, men who knew a lot about fighting, God said, I don't know that that would be a good way to go. And God led them around these lands, around the Philistine lands instead of through them, to prevent his people from getting cold feet, might we say, from getting scared and saying, let's turn around, let's go back. This is not what we signed up for. God knew what they might face and what they could handle better than they did themselves. And so he led them into the wilderness. Let's continue reading in chapter 14, verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. The second reason for the wilderness, I believe we see in these verses, is to show the Egyptians that he, God, is Lord. As we understand the Egyptian society and culture at that time, they were one of the most advanced societies in this time. They were very religious, with nearly every aspect of their lives including the acknowledgement of a God, and that's a small g, God. They served many gods. There was a God for each occasion, each different thing, and a God that was one God was foreign to them. That idea was foreign to them. Because when Moses told Pharaoh that the Lord, the God of Israel, said, let my people go, what was Pharaoh's response? He said, I can almost imagine in an arrogant way, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, and neither will I let Israel go. Exodus 5, verse 2 says that. Pharaoh had no knowledge of God. He had no reason in his own mind to respect or honor God because he was unknown to him. Every plague that the Egyptians had endured was directly related to one of their gods, one of the Egyptian gods. But God wasn't finished yet showing his power to Pharaoh and to the nation of Egypt. When Pharaoh would see the Israelites in the wilderness, the writer here in Exodus tells us that he would say, they're confused, they're ensnared, they're lost in the wilderness. And he would chase after them to bring them back. And God says, when he does that, When he does that, I will gain honor or glory for myself through Pharaoh and his army. Though their chariots and weapons are superior among men, God said they will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am the Lord. God would gain glory among the heathen because of the wilderness. So the next couple of verses here in chapter 14 go on to tell us that that's exactly what happened. After Pharaoh heard that the Israelites had left Egypt, he realized what had happened. He said, "This is not good. The Israelites are indeed lost in the wilderness. They're trapped. They're heading toward a dead end. Let's go." He gathered up his army, his people, his chariots, his horsemen, and they headed off to chase down the Israelites and to bring them back. But we can see a third reason for the wilderness just a few verses later. In verse 9, I want to pick up reading again. Exodus 14, verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched right after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Here we see the Israelite people also asking the question, why the wilderness? Why did you bring us here? They said to Moses, "Did you bring us out of Egypt because there weren't enough graves in Egypt for us to be buried in?" You can sense the desperation in their cry. "Why didn't you let us in Egypt? Isn't this what we told you would happen? We said it would be better to serve as slaves in Egypt than to die here in the wilderness. Why the wilderness?" This was not how they wanted to die. If you think back to earlier in the story, after Moses had asked Pharaoh to let the Israelite people go, Pharaoh made their work more difficult because he thought they were becoming lazy. And the Israelite officers came back to Moses and said, "You have made us a stench in the nostrils of the Egyptian people, because you have put a sword in the Egyptians' hands to kill the Israelites." Living in slavery, they thought, was better than dying in the wilderness. But God said, here in these verses, the reason for the wilderness is so that you can see the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptians you see today, he said, will be the last ones you ever see. "I will fight for you," God told his people. They would not have had this opportunity to witness God's deliverance had it not been for the wilderness. God told Moses to tell the Israelites to move forward. Verse 16 says this, "But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." The Israelite people didn't know exactly what would happen. They simply were told to move forward and observe what God would do. But you know, as is always the case, God knew exactly what would happen. And what he said would happen is exactly what happened. The Egyptians did indeed know the Lord. Look at what verse 25 tells us just a few verses later. As the Egyptians followed into the Red Sea, it says it took off their chariot wheels and they drave them heavily so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel." Why? For the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. The Egyptians knew the Lord. Secondly, Israel saw God's salvation, just as God predicted. Verse 30 says, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore." We can see the reason for the wilderness is here in the next verse, another reason. Verse 31, "And Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." The fourth reason for the wilderness is so that Israel would fear and believe the Lord. The Israelites had been in Egypt so long, and they had seen the amazing things that man could do and build. Pyramids, great cities, the amazing high-class society, all of the wisdom and wealth of Egypt. But they didn't know God that well. They really didn't know him very well. And God used the wilderness to teach them more about his care and his power. Who else could part the Red Sea and let them walk through on dry ground? Who else could destroy the entire Egyptian army with such ease? Because God had them in the wilderness, their classroom was free from distractions, and they could see God at work and learn to know him better. They could put their belief and their trust in the one true God and have it grow as they experienced firsthand the lessons that God was teaching them. When their human resources were exhausted, God's greatness was on full display. This event was such a huge step in preparing them to trust Moses, but ultimately to trust God as they journeyed even farther into the wilderness. And I think there's a lot of similarities to our experiences of wilderness life today, too. When our human resources are exhausted, that is when we can see God's power on full display, if we're simply willing to watch and observe. But for the Israelite people, their wilderness experience was just beginning. Let's fast forward a little bit to Exodus 15, verse 22. We'll pick up reading there again after the Egyptian army has been destroyed. In verse 22 of chapter 15, it says, "Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.'" Here we have a fifth reason for the wilderness. And that reason is mentioned in these verses, in verse 25, to test them or to prove them. In the wilderness, God would test their obedience to his laws. This was an opportunity for the Israelites to prove themselves by obeying. God says, if you hear my voice and you do what is right, if you pay attention to my commands, you keep my decrees, you will be kept healthy. All the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, I will keep from you. They won't be put on you because I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who healeth thee. The wilderness was a testing ground, a proving ground. God gave them an oasis in the wilderness, Elim, this place. There were 12 wells of fresh water, a well for each tribe, so that they would have an abundance of water, and 70 palm trees there. And it may not seem like a lot to us today, but in the heat of a barren wilderness that they were in, this provided welcome shade and relief and coolness. It would seem that God was trying to teach them and that he cared for them, and he demonstrated it by leading them to this oasis. But the proving or the testing wasn't over. It continues on in chapter 16, verse 1. It says, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. You notice, it seems like they're journeying from wilderness to wilderness. It's just a continual journey. And on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel again murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Only a month and a half after leaving Egypt, the children of Israel are again unhappy with their situation. They're unhappy in the wilderness. And you can hear the question again, in not so many words, but they say, why the wilderness? Why did you bring us here? Oh, if God had only killed us in Egypt when we were well fed, we were living the high life. There was pots of meat, plenty of bread. Why did you bring us out into the wilderness to kill us here? Pretty harsh accusation against God and against Moses. And God said this, you're in the wilderness for a test. Will you follow my instructions? I'm going to give you bread from heaven so that you won't go hungry, but there's going to be some rules to follow. God said, this is a test. Will you pass the test or not? First of all, you get what you need and use what you get every day. Sounds like a simple rule, right? And secondly, on the sixth day, you're to gather enough for one additional day. Gather enough for 2 days, because on the Sabbath, I'm not going to provide bread for you. Another test of their obedience. How'd they do? Well, let's look and see. Chapter 16, verse 18. It says, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Don't let it go till tomorrow morning. Verse 20, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth or angry with them. Down to verse 26. 6 days shall ye gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather. Why were they not listening? Guess what? They found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws. They didn't all pass the test, did they? God said, how long will I test you until you learn to keep my commandments? The wilderness was a place of testing or proving for the children of Israel. Let's fast forward now roughly 2 years to Numbers chapter 14. Moses had sent out 12 men, one from each tribe, to spy out the promised land. We're getting close to the end of the journey, he says, and I want you men to go and look at the land that we're about to enter. Bring back a report of what you see. And so they returned after 40 days with a mixed report. 12 men went, and they all said, it was a rich land. It was flowing with milk and honey, just as we have been told. There's a lot of wealth, a lot of blessing there for us. But 10 of the 12 said there were walled cities in this land. There were giants in the land. And they advised against moving into it. You know, it would be better if we didn't go there. It's just looks like a pretty big undertaking. But the other two said, no, we can do this. In God's strength, with God's help, we can do this. Let's go take the land immediately. And once again, the children of Israel asked, why the wilderness? Why are we here? Would to God we had died in Egypt, or would to God we had even died in this wilderness, they said. Why did God bring us here? The 10 men that brought the report of the walled cities and the giants terrified them. And they said, let's choose a new leader and head back to Egypt. God said, how long will this people provoke me? How long till they believe in me, even with all the miraculous signs that I've shown them in this wilderness? God was ready to destroy them, and yet Moses convinced God to forgive them. Listen to what God says in Numbers 14. I'll begin reading at verse 20. Follow along. The Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to you, to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms and until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Here we see a sixth reason for the wilderness. What had once been a place of testing now becomes a place of punishment. Why the wilderness? As punishment for unbelief and disobedience, the wilderness became a place of judgment. For 40 years, the children of Israel would be aware of their unbelief and disobedience as their wilderness experience dragged on much longer than it would have needed to. I want to look yet at the end of their time in the wilderness and learn some more about why the wilderness. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses, here in this setting, is addressing the children of Israel near the end of his life and near the end of their time in the wilderness. Listen to what Moses says. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Notice what he says, what Moses says about their time in the wilderness. I find it interesting that so many times we often say that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. I've said it many times, and you probably have too. But notice here in these verses, Moses said, God led you in the wilderness. You weren't wandering, but God led you there in these 40 years. They weren't wandering. They were led. They moved only when the pillar of fire moved, and they went where it went and when it went. In our times of wilderness today, I believe that God wants to lead us too, if we will follow. Moses goes on to answer, why the wilderness too? He says, first of all, to humble you. Now, we didn't talk about this one before, but God made them humble by hungering them and making them realize that they were not able to do things on their own. They needed God's sustenance. He gave them manna so that they would know that man does not live by God by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And I find it interesting to note that those words should be familiar to us. Jesus quoted those very words when he was in the wilderness. He understood the importance of depending on God for the very sustenance of life. Secondly, Moses said the wilderness was there to prove you or to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would obey God or not. You see, I believe God used the wilderness in the children of Israel's lives to see what was in their hearts. Not so much that he could see it, but it was to reveal it to themselves. Because God knows what's in our hearts, but many times we're unwilling to see it for ourselves. In one day, God brought Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years of wilderness to get Egypt out of Israel. I want us to see yet one more reason for the wilderness. In this chapter, in verse 14, let's read Deuteronomy 8, verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. Why the wilderness? To do thee good at thy latter end. God used the wilderness to prepare them, to prepare the children of Israel for the good that he wanted to give them in the end. His plan was not a plan to destroy them, but it was a plan to prosper them at the end of the wilderness experience. Through all the difficulties that they endured and were going through in the wilderness, God was working his plan for their good. Imagine how much more they appreciated the promised land after 40 years in the wilderness. Would it have seemed as great if they would have entered it immediately after leaving Egypt? We could debate that, but I wonder. They came out of the greatness of the land of Egypt, and had they gone right into the promised land, I'm afraid they wouldn't have appreciated it quite as much. This is God's good for them at the latter end. Look at what it says in verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. God's goodness for them at the latter end of their wilderness experience. And you know, perhaps in our lives today, as we experience the wilderness times in life, it makes us appreciate even more the latter end. When we come to the end of those wilderness experiences and look back and see how God provided and led through those difficult times, I believe it can help us to grow in Him. So why the wilderness? I don't know what your wilderness is this evening, what it has been in the past, but God does. God knows what you've been through. He knows the difficulties, the questions that you've had, the tears that you've shed, the loneliness that you've felt. Maybe tonight, one or more of these reasons that we've looked at apply to your life's wilderness experiences. I want to leave you with two facts yet about wilderness experiences in life. Number one, no matter how long or dark the wilderness, God is there with you. Throughout the wilderness experience, the children of Israel had God's presence with them. The pillar of fire by day, or by night, the pillar of cloud by day, God was with the children of Israel, and He will be with us through our wilderness experience. Secondly, God's plan is to bring you good at the end of your wilderness experience. I don't know what that might look like. God does. Trust Him. Just as He brought good for the children of Israel at the end of their wilderness experience, I believe God's desire is to provide that blessing for us tonight as well. So tonight, as we bring this meeting to a close, I want you to think back on the experiences that you would call wilderness experiences in your life. Maybe you don't need to think back very far. Maybe you're still going through them. But they're real. And I'm not here to say, suck it up, rise above it. I want to acknowledge that they are real. Wilderness experiences can be real, can be very painful. But in the midst of those experiences, may I encourage you to keep pressing on. Keep looking at what God might be teaching you through those wilderness experiences. That's one of the blessings of a church family, is to help one another, because more often than not, we are going through wilderness experiences at different times or to different degrees. And be aware of those wilderness experiences in the life of your brother or sister. God may use you to be an encouragement and a strong support for someone who might be going through a wilderness experience. May God bless you as you think about those times. And I'm going to just pray tonight. And in our prayer, I'm going to let some quiet time for you to pray your own prayer quietly, thanking God for His goodness, maybe crying out, maybe some questions for God. I believe it's okay to ask questions, because God hears those questions. He may not answer them tonight, but He knows what things are troubling to us. And so as we pray, I want to encourage you just to pour out your heart to God. Let Him know what you're struggling with if you are in a wilderness experience. If you are looking back on one, thank Him for providing deliverance from that and providing good at your latter end. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, tonight, the close of this service, we come to You and we want to just open our hearts to You, for You to hear the struggles that we may be going through, the wilderness experiences that may be part of our walk even today. Father, we lift them up to You. Thank You, Lord, that You hear our prayer. You care about the things that are difficult for us, the things that we don't understand. Lord, in time, we may understand, but even if we don't, help us, Lord, to trust in You, to look to You with a childlike faith, knowing that You intend even the difficult things in life to be a refining that makes us more and more like You. Lord, in those difficult times, help us not to become bitter, but help us to be pliable, open to Your Spirit working in our lives. Go with us through those difficult times. Lord, tonight You know what each one here is going through. And I pray, Lord, that You would minister to the difficulties in each one's life. Lord, as we have laid them out before You, You know them all, and You care. Thank You, Lord, for Your care and love for us. Lord, as we go from here, help us to use our wilderness experiences as opportunities to witness and to share with others who may be going through difficult times. Help us to be an encouragement to one another and to others as we come into contact with them from day to day. Lord, as we leave this place, we pray for safety as we travel to our homes tonight. Bless each one as we go about our work tomorrow. And bring us back here again, Lord, tomorrow evening to hear more from You, more from Your Word, as You continue to speak to us. Help us to be open, pliable, submissive, and hearing what You would want us to hear. Dismiss us now with Your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.